Paul Crowther, professor of astrophysics from the University of Sheffield's Department of Physics and Astronomy, announced that he and his research team had discovered a star. They described it as the brightest star ever found in the universe. Not even a welder's helmet would help prevent your eyesight from being destroyed from the light of this giant. The mass of the star is roughly 265 times that of our sun. But that's nothing. The brightness of the star is some 10 million times brighter than the light that's coming from our sun. Think about that. The star, it's currently named R136A1, is not twice as bright as our sun. That would be overwhelming in and of itself. It's not 10 times brighter. It's not 100 times brighter. It's not 1,000 times brighter. It's not 1,000,000 times brighter. It's 10 million times brighter than our sun. How can anything be that bright? Well, thinking about this star gives us a sense of the glorious presence of what our God is like. For the scripture says in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. See, 1 John 1:5 says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God and light are connected. Revelation 21 and 23 says, speaking of that new Jerusalem, that the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The glory of God is the light, and the lamp of New Jerusalem is the Lamb, our sacrificed Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus was prophesied about being the light. Isaiah 9:2 is quoted as being fulfilled by Jesus. In Matthew 4:16, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." The promised Messiah was coming as a light to the people who are lost in the darkness of this life. The theologically rich and wonderfully beautiful beginning of the Gospel of John makes it clear that Jesus is the light. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything that was made was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus called Himself the light. In John chapter 18, verse 12, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What an amazing promise that is. We'll have the light of life. Jesus refers to Himself as a light in several passages recorded in John. For example, in John chapter 12, verse 46, He says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in Me may not remain in darkness." Light is a very important description of who God is and who Jesus is. But as children of God, as those saved by grace through faith, as true followers of God, guess what we are? We are also lights. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Jesus is the big L, light of the world, the capital L, light. And we, His little followers, us Christians, we're the little L, lights of the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says of believers that we are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Philippians 2:15 says, to shine as lights in the world. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we've been called into light. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Well, how do we become light? When Jesus said He was the light, He told us how to become light. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We are given the light of life. We are given Jesus Christ Himself when we pledge our lives, our everything, by faith into following Christ. When the leader of our lives is no longer me, but only Jesus. When Jesus is the Lord of my life and I'm a committed follower of Him, I have the light of life. Acts 26:18 describes a new believer's transformation from darkness to light. It's in this passage that Paul is telling the story of his salvation experience on that Damascus road as he's given a defense before the Roman governor Festus and King Agrippa. Some 2 years he's already been in prison. He says before these most powerful leaders in Israel at that time that God had commissioned him at the moment of his salvation, sending him to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Me. You see, turning from darkness to light is turning from Satan to God, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His beloved Son, so that we may receive forgiveness and be made holy in God. This kind of light can't be generated from within us, but can only come from the grace of God. We are darkness, but He is light. Our light's not a reflection of our work, but a reflection of God's work in us. Our light has nothing to do with our glory, and only to do with God's glory. As the moon reflects the sun, so our light must shine in the darkness, but the light doesn't originate from our own selves, but from reflecting the true light of the world, our Savior Jesus Christ. As we become more like Him, as the Spirit gains more control of our lives, we become a better reflector of the Lamb's light. We can clearly understand that this light is not of ourselves because we're commanded to walk in the light. 1 John 1:7 says that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Our whole Christian experience is walking in the light because Jesus is the light. Following Jesus, receiving forgiveness, becoming like Jesus is walking in the light. In our passage today in Ephesians 5, we are commanded to walk as children of light. Remember how our passage there started there in Ephesians chapter 5? It challenged us as believers to become imitators of God. The ultimate goal of every believer is to be conforming our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. To become like Him inside our hearts and our souls and outside in our actions and in our love. Since God is light, since our salvation has taken us from darkness to light, since our Jesus is light, we are supposed to imitate God and walk as children of light. Well, follow along there in your scriptures as I read from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 7 through 14. It says, therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. For when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. As passionate followers of Christ, as growing imitators of God, we're to walk as children of light. Verse 8 is a statement of fact. Paul says that the Ephesians, that they were darkness. Not that they just lived in darkness, but that they were darkness before they came to Christ. Paul describes them in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, as sons of disobedience. A person is in their actions what they are in their nature. They were darkness, so they did deeds of darkness as sons of disobedience. Verse 8 goes on to gloriously say, but now you are light in the Lord. They are not just in the light, but through their saving union with Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, they themselves have become the light. You see, believers in Christ are made new. Something drastic has happened to us. We now share in Christ's life and nature. We have a new self that is being created in the likeness of our God. We are now in our actions what we are in our new nature. As believers, we are now light. We are now new creations. We have been given a new self, and our actions should characterize our new nature. Our actions should characterize the very actions of Jesus, because we are the light of the world. You know, in biblical times, it was very dark. There was much darkness. They knew darkness at a much greater reality than we do for us. We are surrounded by light. Very rarely are we ever exposed to anything that is really true darkness. Even at night, with all the lights off in our house, we have night lights, we have clocks, we have street lights and outside lights that are bleeding light into our homes. When the power goes out and there's no artificial light at all, outside or inside, we get a sense, just a sense of what their everyday night life was like. When the New Testament was written, light was valuable. Light was important, and it was conserved and costly and rare. The main source of artificial light was olive oil lamps with wicks. I have an actual New Testament artifact that's right here on the communion table. It was given to me by an archaeologist friend. And it's an actual light from the New Testament, an actual lamp from the New Testament that was used during New Testament times. And they would fill in there their olive oil and have a wick coming out of the end of it that would burn to give light. And there's even charred marks on the end of it from it being used. The ancient world was literally a much darker place. Our world is significantly lighter place. We have so much light that we even have this term called light pollution. Do you know this term? Because we overuse light and we waste it so much. We turn on a light switch and we hardly think about it. Light to us isn't anywhere near as valuable as it was to them in the New Testament. So perhaps we've lost some of the important imagery of what it means to be called light. Our world is literally flooded in light. And yet it is as dark as any time in history. Spiritually speaking, the ancient world and our world are the same in spiritual darkness. When the Bible commands us to walk as children of light, it is saying that we have an important responsibility. It is saying that we are valuable and rare. It is saying that we are vital. When they read that they were light, they understood what it meant to walk as light. They knew the significance of the imagery. For there to be any hope in our spiritually dark world, we're supposed to shine bright, reflecting the true character of our Savior. Folks, how is your light shining in the darkness of this world? You are valuable. You have an important responsibility. You are rare. You have a vital mission. You are light. We know that God is light and that Jesus is the light of the world. And we know that we are lights reflecting our Jesus, and that we're commanded as followers of Jesus to follow the light, to walk as children of the light. But what does that look like? What does it mean to walk in light? What does it mean to live our lives in the light? How can we walk as children of the light? How can we live our regular daily Christian lives as light? Well, listed for us there in our passage in verse 9 and 10 are some of the positive ways that we can live out our lives in the light. You see, light is known by its effects. Verse 9 says the fruit of the light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Paul is saying that the spiritual produce of light in the life of a believer is good, which means moral excellence with benevolence. The spiritual produce in the life of a believer is right, which is right actions in the sight of God. The spiritual produce in the life of a believer following the light is truth, which is the opposite of all that is false, that is genuine and honest. Living in the light means that we should, from our new self, produce positive fruit. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus went about doing good. Galatians 6:10 says that as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. Folks, one of the fruit of walking in the light of the Lord is doing good. True believers are supposed to stand out from amongst the world, shining the light of goodness by being good. Jesus said that exactly in Matthew chapter 5, that our light should so shine before others that when they see the good deeds that we do, that they would know that it comes from the light of the world that has changed us. And they would in turn give glory to God the Father. The Galatians passage sets it up even one more notch. We're supposed to do good to everyone. We're supposed to let our light shine brightly for everyone, but especially for those in the household of faith, especially to those brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in our church, should the light of goodness shine. It's great to be part of a church that does that, that is good to each other. We could go on and on with story after story after story. But beloved, let us excel even more. Let us excel even more in the light of goodness. Let the good be a reflection of the light of Christ in us. Not only is light to reflect goodness from our new self, but also rightness. Righteousness sounds like something that only super spiritual people are supposed to do. But righteousness is simply doing right. It is simply doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. To be the light, we need to do what's right. Being light and doing right go hand in hand. Our world struggles to know what is right. We don't. Our world says that it's not possible to know what is right. We know. Our world says that no one has the right to tell me what is right. We say, God does. We know what is right because God tells us in His Word what is right. It's really that simple. To walk in the light, to reflect the light of Christ, we must live what is right. Knowing what is right is one thing, but we must live what is right. If we're to walk in the light, we must live it. We must live what is right. James is one of those books in the Bible that just so often speaks so plainly and clearly. He says in James 4:17, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." If you know what the right thing to do is, and you know what, by far, most often, we really do know what the right thing to do is. If we know what the right thing to do is, then as believers, do that. That's what we're supposed to do. Do the right thing. Be like Christ and walk in the light. Perhaps right now you are struggling with a choice. You know the right thing to do, but it's going to be hard. It's going to cost you. It would be easier just to be selfish. But be bold. Be like Christ. Live in the light and choose right. Choose right right now. Another fruit of walking in the light is truth. This truth is not just as opposed to what is wrong or false, but it's truth that is also genuine and authentic and honest. Walking in the light is much more than knowing the truth and being able to point out error. Truth is more than just a set of facts or propositions. Truth is alive. It is something that you live. As you evaluate your life, are you authentic? Are you the real deal? Are you just putting on church clothes every Sunday and then living the rest of your life, Monday through Saturday, any way that you want to? That's not genuine. That's phony. It's not authentic. That's two-faced. Living a life in light means having one life. It means living a life of integrity. It means being the same person wherever you are. Is the fruit of the light of the Lord reflected in your integrity? Verse 10 adds one more positive aspect of walking in the light as children of the light. It says that we should try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Walking in the light of the Lord means living a life that pleases the Lord. When I say well done, what do you think of? Perhaps as your stomach is growling for food, you might think of a nice steak. But probably since we're in church and I said that, you probably thought of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 25, in that parable of the talents, where Jesus gives us most encouraging words. The master has given differing amounts of wealth and property to his servants before he went away. When he comes back, two of his servants had taken what the master had given them and used it to double its worth. They had taken the gift of the master and used it to bring even more blessings to the master. Then the master says to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master." Walking in the light of the Lord means we live a life that is pleasing to our God. How I long on that day of reckoning when the master calls me home and evaluates what I have done with the gifts and responsibilities that he has given to me, that I may hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Don't you long for that? Don't you long to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord? Don't you long to hear him say to you, "Well done"? Then we need to walk in the light. Well, light not only has its positive effects, but it also exposes the negative. Verses 11 through 14 challenge us to live our daily lives in the light of the Lord means that our lives are open and visible and accountable and exposed. Verses 11 through 14 say, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light." Light has this amazing quality of exposing reality. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 powerfully teach this truth, powerfully teach the truth of the light exposing the darkness. It says, "And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." You know, people stay away from Jesus because they don't want his light to expose their darkness. The light of Jesus exposes our darkness. When we honestly come to Jesus, his light reveals who we really are. We might be able to pretend to others. We might even be able to deceive ourselves. But that's not true with God. God is light, and nothing can be hid from Him. None of our darkness. He exposes it all. So instead of hiding, maybe we should just be totally honest with God. As believers, instead of running from the light, we are to come into the light. We are to embrace the reality of God's light, exposing and revealing our sin and our darkness. We're to walk in the light. Well, perhaps today you need to open up some of those locked areas in your life, those places that you are not letting the light of Christ expose your darkness. You know, so often we think that God won't accept us if we really show Him who we really are. Sometimes we think that God won't love us if He really knew who we really are. But we know what the Bible says. And we know deep within us, over and over again it says, that God loves us, that Jesus loves us, that He knows us, everything about us. And He says to each one of us, I love you. Sometimes we try to hide like Adam and Eve did, but God pursued them. God forgave them. God clothed them. See, God's light not only exposes our sin, but as we embrace Jesus, He cleanses us from our sins. The light of the Lamb, first of all, brings eternal life, which brings healing and wholeness to our souls. There is not a Christian out there who is not tempted by sin and darkness in their lives. And there's not a Christian out there who does not at times run from the light and embrace the darkness. We at our very best are only dimly lit believers, reflecting most imperfectly the character of our Savior. Yet we are resolved to walk as children of light. Well, one weekend, Paul gave his teenage son permission to spend the weekend at a friend's house. But during the weekend, Paul received a call from that friend's mother, informing him that Paul's son was not at their home. The mother's son had felt guilty about covering for Paul's son and confessed to his mom. After Paul told his wife about their son's deception, Paul said, Luella could feel my anger, and she said, I think you need to pray. And I said, I don't think I can pray for him right now. She said, I didn't mean for you to pray for him. I think you need to pray for you. Paul writes, I went to my bedroom to pray for God's help. And it hit me. Because of His love, God had already begun a work of rescue in my son's life. God was the one who pressed in on the conscience of my son's friend, causing him to confess to his mom. God is the one who gave her the courage to make that difficult call to me. And God was the one giving me the time to get a hold of myself before my son came home. Now, rather than wanting to rip into my son, I wanted to be a part of what God was doing in His grace in this moment of rebellion and deception and hurt and disappointment. After giving his son a couple of hours to relax upon his return, Paul asked him if he could talk. He said, do you ever think about how much God loves you? Paul asked his son. Sometimes, he answered. Do you ever think about how much God's grace operates in your life every day? His son looked up at him and didn't say anything. Do you know how much God's grace was working in your life even this weekend? Who told you? The son asked. Paul said, you have lived your life in the light. You've made good choices. You've been an easy son to parent. But this weekend, you took a step toward the darkness. You can live in the darkness if you want. You can learn to lie and deceive. You can use your friends as your cover. You can step over God's boundaries. Or you can determine to live in God's light. I'm pleading with you. Don't live in the darkness. Live in the light. As I turned away, Paul wrote, I heard his voice from behind me saying, Dad, don't go. As I turned around with tears in his eyes, he said, Dad, I want to live in the light, but it's so hard. Will you help me? Beloved, the choice is ours. Will we choose to live in the light, or we choose the darkness of our selfishness? I don't know what you're dealing with, but I know this, that whatever it is, God is challenging you to choose to walk in the light. I love the honesty of the son's response. I want to live in the light, but it is so hard, folks. That is real. Oftentimes, choosing the narrow way, the path of goodness and righteousness and truth, the way that pleases the Lord, walking in the light is hard. The wide road, the path of selfishness and deception, the way that displeases the Lord, walking in the darkness is easier. But just like the sun, deep inside each and every believer, there's a desperate desire to choose the light. So look into your life. Look into your hiddenness. Look into your secrets and sins. Look at your pain and loss. Look at your brokenness and embrace the light. The value of embracing God in the midst of our darkness far outweighs the immediate easy way that only leads to emptiness and loss. It will be hard. So the son asked the dad, "Will you help me?" The father could not have hoped for a greater response from his son. So we can have no greater response to our Heavenly Father. He waits for that same openness and that same honesty from you and from me. So we say out of our hearts to our Heavenly Father, "I want to live in a light, but it's so hard. Will you help me?" Your pastor will help you. Your church will help you. Your true Christian friends will help you. But most of all, He, your Father, who loves you so much, He will help you. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before You this morning and confess to You, as that son did to his father, we say to You, we want to live in the light, but it's so hard. Will You help us? Lord, we thank You that You will answer that prayer in amazing ways in each one of our lives to make those choices of choosing the goodness and the rightness and the truth, choosing a life that is pleasing You, choosing to allow You to expose all that sin and darkness in our lives, that You want to embrace that and change that and heal us and bring wholeness and hope and encouragement. Lord, in these hard things of life, in these times when it's so much easier just to ignore, just to stuff it down, to close the closet door, to pretend it's not there, Lord, we as Your followers choose the light. We choose to have it exposed to You so that You can love us through it and in it and out of it. Lord, it's hard. Will You help us? In Jesus' name, amen.